Evaluating your project team. There are all kinds of evaluation opportunities. Weekly, tracked via completion of to-do items. So you guys saw Basecamp as a tool and how I can pull up any one person and see what they've completed most recently that week. Monthly, I try and once a month have an informal conversation with each of our staff members about where they're at and what they've done. But also I like to ask questions like, do you feel overwhelmed right now? Is there, you know, do you feel like you need more space, less space? Is something going on I need to be aware of? Just a check-in moment. It's often useful, particularly with undergraduates and graduate students, by the way, to do these in social settings outside of the formal university. It can be a little intimidating to sit in a room or your office and ask somebody what they think, and they want to say something slightly impolitic, and your dean or chair could walk by, or their advisor could walk by. You know, so think carefully about the environments you're having these conversations in. Quarterly, we try and do this with a formal meeting between a team member and a PI. So, for example, oftentimes here, we will bring somebody in who we feel like is doing great work and say, we just wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about how much we're appreciating what you're doing. How do you feel it's going? And that's usually when the PI gets involved. So the faculty member that's running the research team or has the intellectual questions, or in this case, we do this with our staff on a quarterly basis. It's mandated by the University of Maryland. They come in and meet not just with Neil, but all of our staff come in and meet with Neil and I because I manage the majority of the staff. Yeah.
Do you ever ask for self-evaluations, which all of us are now asking?
Very much so.
We have to write our own reports about ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I ask for self-evaluations once a year at the beginning of the year I then use to schedule a meeting to talk about how they evaluate themselves and how we evaluate them. The key element for me, though, is that self-evaluations are useless if you're not going to actually turn them into a plan of how to fix things for somebody or address things for somebody. So when we do self-evaluations, one of the things it says, it's actually, we call it the could, would, should exercise. This is what I could be doing. This is what I am doing. This is what I want to be doing. Could, would, should. It was a lot easier to say than what it is. So this is what I, you know, I can do. This is what I am doing. This is what I want to be doing. And it's actually, I ask them to put down not just what their sort of broad strokes of what they're doing, but how much time they're spending on things and how much time they want to be spending on things. And on projects, that's a really good gauge of somebody's satisfaction, because if they're spending 50% of their time now doing something, but they say they want to only spend 10% of their time doing it in the future, you know there's something going on in how they're operating now that they don't like. And we then turn that into steps that we will take to correct issues. So there are conversations that I've had where I have said, I understand you're unhappy with what you're doing now. Here is what we're going to do to change that and fix it for you. So this could be changing it to somebody else working on it, or giving you more resources, or giving you another staff member to help. I've also had conversations where I've said, I understand that you don't want to do this, but that is what your job is. I apologize that you are unhappy doing it. Suck it up and let's move on. If you don't like it, you have to find another job, because that's a core element of what you are required to do for this job. This is important for graduate students or for graduate students who are teaching with undergrad. So as a grad student, when you're leading a classroom, if your students are unsure and unhappy, that's fine to change things, but it's also fine to say to them, there's a reason why I'm asking you to do this. You just need to be explicit about what that reason is. So yesterday in the budget conversation, we knew that was going to freak you out. We were explicit about that freaking you out. We know that this is going to be uncomfortable and hard, but you really do need to hear this. Even if it doesn't all sink in, you do need to hear it, okay? Also, there is the sort of end of project completion report that is usually written by the project director or the project manager. Oftentimes, I use these as opportunities to fix things with my university. So we did this process and this project the first time, and this is what worked and this is what didn't. If you wanted us to write another grant of this type, I would need these additional resources. If you haven't noticed, I'm a little sly and try and squeeze as much as I possibly can out of the people around me. This is why this is important. So things like, for those of you, I know Denise and Kate, you know, you're talking about building a teaching classroom. We did this with two classes and it worked so well and we got these great reviews. If you gave us four, we could do these three other things. You know, so if and then as a project completion strategy. If we did this, and you gave us that, then we could do these other things. And oftentimes when you're explicit like that, you're able to sort of garner more resources. But importantly, when you're dealing with individual staff members or individual people you're collaborating with, if as a collaborator you did this with us and then you gave us that, then we could give you these 35 other things you wanted. If and then. The other one, and I will go back to the touchy-feely psychology, is when you do this, you make me feel like that. And I wish you would not do this. You know, it sounds silly, but it's actually a really useful strategy in talking to people. Sometimes people don't realize that what they say can be heard differently, or how they feel may be coming across in ways that it's not intended. So Trevor likes to say to me, when you're cranky and you look at me with frowny face, I feel like I've done something wrong. And I would appreciate it if you would stop giving me frowny face. It sounds silly, but it's a polite, basically, way of saying, I know you're super cranky and you need to, like, back off, you know? So those sorts of negotiations can happen in project teams. Luckily, around here, we like to tease a lot, but when you come to situations where you don't know each other very well, those sorts of statements are actually very useful because you may not realize what's motivating the behavior. So common evaluation issues. Team members are not completing tasks efficiently or on time. Asking these questions, what is actually impeding the team member? Do they not know enough? Do they not have enough time, whether time you're paying them for or time in their unpaid life? Is it a personal issue? And this is particularly important when you're dealing with students and transitional staff or transitional people with transitional lives. So you're a contract worker or somebody's having a baby or somebody can be going through a divorce or a family illness. You know, is it actually that they don't give a crap about the project, or is it really that there's something going on and you could be supportive of that issue? What can you do to change and correct those issues? You know, if somebody's mom is dying, you really can't help that their parent is dying, but you can set up flex work, or you can say, you know what, you need to go take 2 days away and come back to us. And that's actually a strategy we use here a lot at Myth. So this week for DHWI, Trevor and I are running ourselves to death, as is the rest of our staff. Jim and Travis took their research day and disappeared today. I'm going to take Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off because you know what? I need a little air. I need to breathe, and I will be a much happier collaborator when I come back on Thursday than I would be if I was here at 9 a.m. Monday morning. Have a nice time. The other evaluation issue that is quite common, and this is for those of you guys who are potentially dealing with, you're actually paying for someone to do the work on your project. You need to think about when you actually want to replace a team member. When has something become so egregious that that person is an impediment to the project? Okay? And I tend to be harsh and judgmental sometimes about issues like this because I get frustrated that the project isn't working well and I just want to like blow everybody up and make them all go away and like bring in a whole new staff. That's not an effective strategy. It's not a good response. I recognize that. So there are criteria. Is this person being dishonest? Are they lying about the amount of time they're working? Are they misbilling you? Are they doing work that doesn't hold up to standards and critique? So do they say they're a really great coder, but the code that you're getting is so poorly done and they can't seem to fix it? You know, that's when you need to replace them as a team member. Delays in resources. I showed you guys, or will show you guys, boomerang on my email. I did that. Regular reminders when things are due. Formal letters of request. So if I have sent you 2 emails and you're still ignoring me, usually in Myth cases because they're Myth-affiliated projects, I then go to Neil and I say to Neil, so-and-so has ignored me. I have sent you a draft letter that I would like you to read, edit, and approve and sign your name to and send it to them. You'd be amazed at what having somebody else who is a heavyweight on your project, your chair, your dean, your whatever, can do to get somebody moving. Phone calls from PIs or major stakeholders. Simon and I have used this strategy before when people tend to ignore agreements that we have, is we won't have the PI call, but we know that so-and-so has a relationship or a partnership with 2 libraries. We'll call our colleague at that library and say, listen, can you do me a favor? Can you make a phone call to our third colleague that we're working with and just say, you know, listen, I don't know if you realize, but you're really disappointing the team and you need to step up. You know, so being polite and being approachable, but also recognizing that, you know, you may not be the best person to address this issue, and asking a third party to step in can be a good use. For graduate students working on their dissertations, this is particularly important. If things are not going well with your committee, this is where a director of graduate studies or a colleague can step in. This is also where a third party can help you write the right argument to your advisor if they're not advising you well. When you do not advise me well and you provide no feedback, then I feel like you don't care about my career. I would like you to do X. Be explicit. At the identification of an issue, begin creating alternative scenarios for resource support. If it looks like a staff member is going to explode, think about who could replace them. If you know a PI is becoming unreliable, start thinking about what you can do to fix that issue. If your money falls apart, what would you do with your project? So if you don't get that grant, if you don't get that continuation of funding, if all of a sudden tomorrow, you know, you decided to take a new job or somebody on your project took a new job, how would you address that? This doesn't have to be a formal exercise. I do this a lot in my head. If I move this person around here or there, what do I get in exchange? You know, what do I get better? What do I get worse? It's a strategic thinking exercise a lot of times. So written evaluations. Provide a record of an individual's progress on the project. So this is the coulda, woulda, shoulda. What am I doing? What do I wish I was doing? What am I unwilling to do? How much time am I spending? And this is the question that I enjoy about on the project, individual project level. What is the most frustrating thing about this project? Sometimes it can be something as simple as, we meet at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and 4 o'clock is when I like to catch my bus. Well, okay, great. Then we'll think about moving the meeting to an earlier time. Or I don't, at Myth, we don't start anything before 9 a.m. because most of us commute from a significant distance. You know, we don't schedule stuff at 8:30 because I can guarantee you we're going to grumble about being here at 8:30 because that means somebody had to leave at 7:30 and another person had to leave at 6. You know, thinking about things like that. What's most frustrating? These can be anonymous if you want. You know, they can also be things with their names on them. You know, you just basically are looking for a feedback loop. For large-scale team evaluations, and a lot of you guys don't have sort of multi-institutional projects yet, but we do these by each team. So each institutional team, my team functioned this way and did these things well. My team did not function this way and did not do these things well. By each team member, I did my job this way, this well, and did not like this. By each team PI, I think this worked for the whole project. I think this did not work for the whole project. And by you as the person sitting in the middle of it, what do you observe because you see the holistic sort of version of it that's happening every day on the ground? I do a lot of this thought work for Myth about how we could recommend changes in Myth structure and how Myth's projects operate because I get to see all 18 projects on any given day. And I'm currently the only person that sees all 18 projects every day. So a lot of times I say things that strike everybody else as a lot of craziness, but it's because I can see things that I think are going on that we've got to step in and fix that could be a cascade of problems for other things. So how do you handle problems? So this goes to one of the questions actually you guys asked way back on Monday about, you know, what do you do if you don't know something or you have a problem with the person you're working with? And we have a whole section on handling problems that's going to come next. A beer or a coffee can smooth a lot of issues. Take it outside of the office. Take it outside of the professional context. Ask someone how they did, how their weekend's going, what's going on. Or say, you know, I've done this before, not here, but at other places. Taking a student out and said, listen, you're looking a little ragged. Are you okay? Like, is there something I can do to help you? You don't look good. I'm worried that your behavior is a little weird. You know, oftentimes you'll find with undergraduates and graduate students in particular, you know, money's tight and they may be cutting corners on things that as the person running the team, you don't want them cutting corners on, like getting exercise and eating and things like that. So you'll notice you guys got fed a lot this week in this class. I feed my undergraduates popcorn at 4 o'clock every day because the class starts and dinner time comes and I know they're still going to be sitting here and I know that a lot of them are very, very overscheduled. I find by feeding them popcorn, they're more engaged and more aware and more awake in class. Okay, so little things can matter. On all teams, regardless of the level of people involved and the number of people involved, personal issues trump professional ones. Okay, that person can be a great person to work with on a professional level. They can be a great coder, a great graphic designer, a great PI, a great project manager. If they're a shitty person, it ain't going to help you. You know, if you're always cranky, which I admit I am usually, or if you're always happy, you can be alienating the team around you without realizing it. Everybody's been in those situations in meetings where that person comes in at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. and just is, it's like they're on something that just drives you insane, nails on a chalkboard. So, you know, you want to think about how you come across, but you also want to ask your colleagues. And I do this a lot at Myth and get laughed at for it, but it's actually really useful. Am I crazy that I'm responding this way? You know, when we were in that meeting, I heard this and it made me want to jump off a cliff. Was that what was actually said? Am I misinterpreting? Did I mishear? You know, so using the people around you as checkpoints on your project. Make sure every team member has the opportunity to offer criticism, anonymous or otherwise. This is particularly important when you may have people acting in service situations like an OIT department or when you may be consulting with somebody who's not being paid. Make sure the people that are unpaid or the people that got assigned to you, regardless of what their interests are, have an opportunity to offer criticism about how things are working. External evaluations. One of the things I like to do is actually take a look at a comparable project or team in terms of the scale and deliverables of the things they're working on. So not necessarily the content, but the types of work they're trying to do. And ask them to spend the day with my team. This is actually an exercise that I proposed to the Myth directors that we think we're potentially going to be implementing this spring, is to bring in people from another center to spend the day with us and evaluate how we operate. Are there things we're doing well, things we're doing differently that somebody from the outside can see? This is particularly useful when you're on small projects and small schools where you may not be able to pull in somebody from outside of your institution, but you may be able to get somebody from another department or somebody who specializes in an area that you guys are interacting with that can come in and sort of say, you know, yeah, you're working well together. No, you're not. You know, what are they seeing? What do they suggest? And outside mediators can often see things without distraction. You know, they're not necessarily worried about your personalities or the, you know, what your goal is. They're watching the dynamics of how you operate with each other. Yeah.
The first one, as a comparable project or team to come in, is that something that you can add to your budget?
Yeah. So they can be a consultant on your project to come in and to what we usually sort of put them in as consulting on project management and evaluations. So at Illinois, they have a great center that actually is entirely designed to do evaluations. They like write evaluations professionally and will evaluate team dynamics professionally. And we've written grants where they get written in to come in and evaluate and do ethnographic interviews of how we operate. Maryland doesn't have one of those, but I know of and we've talked about people coming in to evaluate us and how we operate. Yep.